I saw Avram Lohan's Otis.
So this week's parasha apparently is Terumah. Terumah discusses at great length and detail the building of the Mishkan and some of the Kedim in the Mishkan. The parasha starts off and talks about all the the materials needed for the construction of the Mishkan. The Zohar was first the metal, the Zohar Kesef Nechoshes, gold, silver, and copper. There was all the special dyes and fabrics, and chedas hagogon v'las shalom sheish, and there was a exegete. The pasuk starts off and it says, Hashem said to Moshe, Dabar el b'nei Yisrael, v'yikchu li terumah. They should take for me terumah. Terumah is a English word. It's not really a donation or a offering or a, not quite an offering either. Terumah, the lashon of terumah comes from harom. It's raising it up. Give it to the Rebbe Shlomo or the Kohen, whatever case may be. V'zois haterumah. So it says v'yikchu li terumah. Take from me terumah. Me'esh kol ish asher yitzvah nivigoy. From any person who is heart bestows upon me. He gives in the dover, he gives of himself the truma. Tikhu et truma, so you take my truma. Again, the second time we mention truma. The Zohar says, Truma, Asher tikhu meitam. And this is the truma that you should take from him. So the truma is mentioned here three times. Dabar el v'yikchu li truma, the first one. The second one is tikhu et truma, see. And the third one is, the Zohar says, Truma, Asher tikhu meitam. This is the truma that you should take from there. Why is it meant, the pasuk mentioned three times? Also, the first two times the pasuk mentions it, it says v'yikchu li truma, take from me, the mention is talking, take from me the truma. The second time is trumasi, my truma. The third time it doesn't attach the truma to Rebbe Mishnah. V'zois ha'truma asher tikchu me'itam. This is the truma you should take from there. This is the truma that you should take from there. That's the third time it's mentioned. So what is the difference between the three times? An interesting Gemara. The Gemara in Brachas that from Hay says that Bezalel, who built the Beis Hamikdash, the Pasuk actually says that Bezalel built the Mishkan had a Ruach Hashem. He had the Ruach of Hashem in him to give him the inspiration, the insight, the Chochmah, the understanding, the practical ability to build the Mishkan. So what happens is that the Gemara said that Omer Abinus, Omer Shmuel Bar Achmin, Omer Abinus. Bezalel, why does the name Bezalel? Al Shem Chochmah Senikrov, he is called for his Chochmah. The Shah Shomer HaKosh Baruch Hu Moshe, HaKosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Leich HaMogaloi LeBezalel. Go and tell Bezalel, Asegi Mishkan, make for me a Mishkan. Mishkan is the building. Oroi the Kenyan. And Oroi and all the Kenyan, they go inside it. Holach Moshe V'Hopach. So Moshe Rabbeinu went to Bezalel and he switched the order. He said to him, we've seen the pasuk, what does it say? The first part in Shulchan, the first Kedim is mentioned, is the Aroim. Then comes the Shulchan, then the Menorah, and afterwards we get to the Mishkan. Omar Aloi, Moshe Rabbeinu. He said to Moshe Rabbeinu, our Rebbe. Min Hogash al Adam, Oyo. The meaning of the world is Adam Beinu Ba'is. First people we saw the house. And then you bring in all the furniture. I'm going to make a shulchan, I'm going to make a menorah. Where am I going to keep them? I need to build a mishkan, I need somewhere to put them. Shem HaKach HaMalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you paket. I say mishkan, make a mishkan, oroi, v'kedim, oroi, no v'kedim. First the mishkan, then all the oroi, v'kedim. Omar Lois, the Moshe said back to Rabbi to Bezalel, he said, Shema Bezalel Kelo Yisav Yavato. Maybe you were sitting in the shade of the Rebbeinu Shalom and you knew. But I know that Moshe Rabbeinu said, on a certain level it seems, that Bezalel had a very, very deep understanding of what the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted. He understood automatically, he understood by himself, that when the Rebbeinu Shalom, what to say to the Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe, all he told Moshe was first to build the Mishkan and then to build the Kedem. Even though Moshe told the Paket. The question is, what was Moshe thinking? Why did Moshe switch the order around? Now, we know this. These two kashas come from Talmud Chacham of the Gadol called Rabbi Yitzchok Mivilna. He was obviously from Vilna, and he put out the sefer in two svarim. One's called Kehilas Yitzchok, one's called Beis Yitzchok. This is what I'm about to say appears in Beis Yitzchok. So we all know that in every single object, even in life, there's ruchnius and gashmius. We see our physical bodies and we know that we're imbibed and imbued with a neshama. The Gemara says that every single piece of blade, every single blade of grass that goes, there's a malach, which is mamun on it. So every single object has a physical aspect and a ruchnistic aspect. The Gemara says, in Tainis, that the Yerushalayim Shel Mata has got the Yerushalayim Shel Malach connected. When Moshe Rabbeinu was up in Shammai listening to the Benjamin and describing the Mishkan, what's the Ikar of the Mishkan? Is it the Kedah? The Orem. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw in Shammai, what's the most chassid? The Orem, the Kedah, they're much bigger in ruchness, they had a much bigger impact. Practically, on a practical level, the physical sense, you can't really keep, you need someone to keep the Orem and the Kedah. So when Moshe Rabbeinu said, when he described the building of the Beit HaMikdash to the Tzaddik, so he started off with the Oren and the Kenyan, he was saying that these are the Ik of the Mishkan. But they didn't mean he wasn't trying to stretch around the order of the Benjamin. But this is the Ik of why he built the Mishkan, the Kenyan. So he told them the Kenyan first. But the Tzaddik said, on a practical level even, it seems like you're telling me to build the Kenyan first, and I don't, I need to build the Mishkan first. When a person came to give an amazon to the base of the Mishkan, so you could have someone who was giving a few hundred kilos of gold, and he was giving it, you know, take the gold, passes me off, you know, fine, take your donation, leave me alone. There was an omni who came along and he managed to scrape together two copper coins and gave it with his whole heart and his whole being. Who's greater in Shammai? The person that gave the 100 kilos of gold, or the person that gave it his whole heart and being? So, however, we know that Achal Alev had an Anvarim. We look at what a person had in his rotzen and he was Moshe Nefesh. So, if you're looking at the bottom line, the person gave him a lot less physically. The amount that he gave, what Ali gave, was a lot less. But in his Moshe Nefesh and in his rotzen, he gave much, much more. Zokhti Rabbeinu Shlomo, that Ali, Yen Ali, he really, really wanted to give a lot. And he couldn't. He gave what he could and he gave it the whole labor, the whole Nefesh. So for him, the chelik and the Beis HaMikdash earlier and the Mishkan earlier is huge. Because his chelik in the Mesiras Nefesh and his chelik in Rotzen is gigantic. So he has a gigantic chelik in the Mishkan, Lamala. The Mishkan Lamata, he got a small covering of an Eden of a Kerish, perhaps. The Gvir came along and the Gvir gave his gold. And he gave a lot of gold, a few hundred kilos, and that went towards the menorah. The menorah which brings down the hashpah of Torah Baal Peh into the world. So he gave a lot. But in the Henk, in the Mishkan Lamala, it's depends on the Jotun. So Zokta Eh, what's Shatan Vikhuli Truma? Take a Truma Lishmira, she says. In the version of the same thing, she says, I want a Truma which is going to be Lishmira. Which truma is for Lishmi? Le'ez kol isha she'yidevenu liboy. Look at the person's lave. The person's lave. Don't tell him Moshe, but he's saying the person's lave. If you look at the person's lave, and his lave was fully into his truma, that's a truma Lishmi. And he's going to have a very, very, very big chilek in the Mishkan Lamana. Also, you need to build a Mishkan. You still need the physical things for the Mishkan. You need the Zohar, the Keshas, and the Chodesh. Yes, you're right. We always need an action together with just the rotzen. So yes, take all the zav, the kesses, the chesed from anyone who wants to give. But it is a shemus alev, it isn't a shemus alev. As long as you give, you can use it to build the Mishkan Lamata. But the lave is referring to Mishkan Lamata. Take the truma lishmi, which is lishmi, which is close to me, which is real lishma. That's the truma that comes to the person who's giving wholeheartedly. As an interesting pasuk in Parshas Vayakev, pasuk says, "Vayavoy kol isha shel nasoi liboy." Truma, the tzaveh, kizisa, vayakev, pekudei are all basically always talking about the mishkan. It's very interesting because the truma and the tzaveh describe what you meant to build. Vayakev says they built it. And because they said they brought it to Moshe and they set up the Mishkan. So it really appears, everything appears three times. So in Vayakha, when it's referring to when it started happening, everyone came, so it says by Yogoyu called Isha Shenasoy. Every man who his heart raised him up to king, okay, to bring from a king, the Khoila Shanot Varucha also, and his anything which his Ruach gave himself over to bring, he view as Trumas Hashem, they brought the Trum of Hashem in Lechasa Loyet, Flumlocha of the Oyer Loyet, Mishkan and Chalav and Losa, for all its work, which is called Kalim, and Vigda Kodesh, and all the Vikula. Zokta Malvi, what's the difference between Hashem and Sotoy Liboy, and not Baruch? So, he says, Nesoy Liboy means someone who decided to give a donation. Okay, Nesoy Liboy decided, I want to give a donation to the Revolution, I want to give a donation to the Revolution, and came. Not Baruch means he gave him his whole self. Even if he couldn't give anything, he was mishokik and he had a tremendous shuk and a loss and a will that he wanted to give the revenge later. Zot the Malmim, even if he couldn't give, kol asher not baruchoy, even if he couldn't give, but he gave his ruach over the revenge later, it's as if he gave his trumas Hashem lemelech asher anoyedit of the whole mishkan, or lechalab adasah, in all the kelim, or lebigdei kodesh, or lebigdei kodesh. Just from that mysterious nefesh, from that tremendous rotsen, the will to give the Rebbeinu wholeheartedly to give the Rebbeinu, it raises up to a level that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mitzvah says if he built the whole Mishkan.
But the
Bnei Yisrael,
when they came out immediately,
yeah, they all had
assets as well. So this guy's talking from his time, and there were never people didn't have it, and they gave. Mm-hmm. But the reality was they had, it's how they gave.
There were definitely people who were wealthier than others.
Yeah.
I said, do you know, I would just think of the amount of gold they needed to make some Mikdash. Yeah. I mean, they gave all the. There's a tremendous amount of things. It's a good question. I don't know. Good aura, yeah. So there's a interesting, you should mention that they all had. There's a famous master, Chaim Volozhiner. Chaim Volozhiner had a Meshulach who he used to send around collecting for Volozhiner Yeshiva. So the Meshulach used to go collecting and he used to go to certain Gevir, he used to get a certain amount of money from the Gevir. And one day the Hamholos HaYeshiva, wherever it was, the Meshulach decided that it's not a row that the person, the Meshulach of the Eim HaYeshiva's Volozhiner should go around and schlep around their foot from town to town. So they hired him a wagon, and it was a nice wagon. He said, you know, he comes with a nice wagon, he can make an impression. Friends of mine told me that his father used to drive a Mercedes. I remember his father used to drive a Mercedes. I once asked him why he's driving a Mercedes. He's in property. If he doesn't show he's doing well, he won't get any investors. So they thought if he comes presented well, it doesn't come like, you know, like a schnorrer, it comes like a schnorrer with a capital S, then he can get more money. So he back came with his wagon. And he had even a new suit, which was only second hand instead of fourth hand. And he gave it to the Gevir, and the Gevir said, I'm not giving you, sorry. And he didn't give, and he came back to Yeshiva, and he told Bechaim Volozhiner. And this Gevir was known, he was Yirei Shemayim, and he was always a Talmid of Yeshiva, who used to give money. And it was a bit of an anomaly to figure out why the Gevir suddenly stopped giving. So when Bechaim Volozhiner happened to pass through the city, Bechaim Volozhiner went into him and said, what is this? Why have you stopped giving us money? So he says, listen, I believe in yeshiva, and I believe in supporting learning. I believe in giving money to yeshiva kochma. I don't believe in money giving money to wagon drivers. Why do you have to spend yeshiva's money on wagon drivers? So Chaim Volozhiner said in the of Gin Mias Mishkan, everyone gave gold. Now your gold could have gone to the Oren, which sat in Kodesh HaKadoshim, and held the luchos, which came down from the Mishkan. It could have gone to the Menorah, and the Menorah, which brings down the Hashpah of Tosh Baal Tev Tovot. It could have gone to the Shulchan, which brings down the Hashpah of Parnassah Tev Tovot. It could have gone to a ring. I think the rings were on top of the Kroshim on the Chasam Mishkan. So how come there was no tremendous fight going on? I want this Zog, I'm dedicating it to the right hand of the right hand group. The right side, there's two crews on top of the Kaparis. I want the right one, I want the right wing of the right crew. Why was the fighting going on? Where my gold is going? So Chaim Volozhiner said that the Zohar, which came into the Mishkan, there was a special Ruach HaKodesh that the Tzal had, And the fee, the madriga of the person who was giving the money, and the fee, the darga of the person who was giving the money, the zav went into the right place. Now, this story, so the Chaim Lozhin said you, that when you give your money, you're giving it for Leib Shalom and you want to go to Talmid HaChachomim to learn the Torah, it's going to go there. The person is giving us because it's not a Shem Shemayim, because he wants himself to be known, because he feels a choiv krape, whatever it is, not because he wants to support that, because the baggage driver. Your money is still going to learn the Torah. Now, this story is interesting that it leads on from what you mentioned, but it really leads us into the next thought we're going to speak about. There was another thing, Atishitim, that they had to have in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. The Atishitim made the Kroshim. The Atishitim were... They used the Atishitim for various other things, but the Oren as well. The Pasuk says, I cannot recall when, the Pasuk says it was Atishitim Oimdi. Standing. So, let's start from somewhere else. Where did they get the Atishitim from? They were in the middle of a Midbar. Zog Rashi. Yaakov brought them to Mitzrayim. Okay, so why did Yaakov bring them to Mitzrayim? So I saw in the back of Hamnetz, he says an interesting thought. He says that when Hakadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov they have to go down to Mitzrayim, he says, Al Tere Meridom Mitzrayim. I think that's the lashon of the Pasuk. Don't be scared that you have to go down to Mitzrayim. And when Palestine was in Mitzrayim, it was a very, very hard situation, and there could very well have been that a lot of people were misyatish from ever having a gula. Yaakov brought down trees, he planted them in Mitzrayim, and everyone knew that these trees, every single Yiddish kid knew that these trees are the trees we're going to take back up when we leave Mitzrayim. There was always something, what's the word?
Tangible.
Tangible is the word, yes. There was always something tangible in front of them that they could see, and it would remind them of the Yeshua that was going to come. That's what Netzi says that thought. I was thinking along a bit of a different halach, and actually I found that Yaakov came and asked afterwards. The Medrash Rabbah actually says that when Yaakov get the Atishitim from, he went to Be'er Sheva before he went to Mitzrayim. Be'er Sheva was where Avraham planted the Eshel. Avraham Avinu planted an Eshel, which was a welcoming with Achmas Azachem for all travelers. And he planted trees there, people could sit in the shade. The trees were Shittim, Atishitim. Yaakov Avinu went and he cut down those trees and he brought them to Mitzrayim, or he uprooted the trees, brought them to Mitzrayim and replanted them in Mitzrayim. And Bnei Yisrael took them back out with them out of Mitzrayim. Now, what's the point? Were there no Atishitim in Mitzrayim? Well, could they not hold Atishitim? They had tremendous amounts of money. They could have sent Shluchim to buy Atishitim. Why did what was the truth? Yaakov Avinu saw Baruch HaKadosh, they had to build a Mishkan, so he schlepped trees. He probably schlepped huge logs of wood with him to Mitzrayim. Why? So the Gemara says that the Pasuk says they call Atishitim Oindi. What does Atishitim Oindi mean? The Gemara Yuman Ubei says Shema Tomar Ovat Sivron Ovat HaSekuyim, they've lost forever the Mishkan Talmud Loimah Oindim Sha'undim L'Oilam L'Oilamim. Wherever the Mishkan is now, wherever those Koshim are, they're still surviving, they're still standing upright. There's a famous Crusader Shema Grah. I don't know where I didn't find the Grah, but it's brought for Shema Grah. The Gross said that if a person would build a Beit HaKnesses from the Yisodis, from the foundations up, totally L'Shem Shemayim, with every single thing in it was built L'Shem Shemayim, there'd be no chance that it would ever get destroyed. It would be so imbued and vibrant with Kedusha, there's no chance it would ever get destroyed. And the Gross said it to Gemara. The Gemara said that Rav Chiya was talking to Rebbe's son, Shimon ben Rebbe. And they were discussing who had the biggest koyach haTorah. So Rabbi Chiya said to Rabbi Shimon ben Rebbe, said, I have the biggest koyach haTorah. Because you know what I did? I made sure the Torah would never be forgotten. I went, and I planted cotton, and after I planted it, I picked it, and I wove it into nets. Then I went, and I trapped deer. I shepherded the deer. I used to feed the meat to Yosemite. And I used the order of the deer, I used it to write Sefer Torah, and I used to go to a city where there was no Melamed, and I used to teach the Torah to the Melamed. I used to write Chamisha from Sefer Torah, I used to teach five different children, each one of the Chumash, and they used to teach it to each other. And that's what Rebbe says, Kama Gudoy Limasi Chiyah, look how great Chiyah's actions are. Now, a long while later calls it, he had to go find a field, he had to go find cotton seeds, he had to go to find and plant it. Why? go hire someone, then trap me a few deer, buy some oils, and that's it. So we're going because Ruchi wanted his maizim to succeed. He needed it to succeed. So he started from the very beginning, as early as he could, he started to do the maizim Hashem Shammai. Hashem the Torah Shalit Yishtakach. And that's how he was successful. Ashtot Su wants this going, there's a Gemara that says there's a machlokes, the Mishnah actually says the machlokes between Rez and Chachomim, where the machshir Rebbe Lo Alecha Shabbos. We know a priest B'yem HaShmini is allowed to do on Shabbos. It's B'yem HaShmini. Rav Leza said that even machshir Rebbe, even something which is not directly involved with the priest, you're allowed to be there for Shabbos. You forgot your sake, you forgot your Ismail in the next street, there's no Eruv, go take it. It's more to take it. So the Mishnah says, B'yem Komesh Rav Leza, in the place of Rav Leza, they used to chop down trees on Shabbos, burn the trees to make coal, use the coal to smelt iron, and make a knife in order to do the Brisa Shabbos. You can go all the way back, just go buy a knife. What is again? They wanted to do a mitzvah b'chol shli musa. The fear of Leza, machshir is there for Shabbos. So they wanted to start from the earliest possible time to start doing it with the Shem Shammai. So that the mitzvah should be successful and have a cure and be long lasting. For the side of the Mishkan, for the walls of the Mishkan, Avraham Avinu and Yaakov Avinu wanted to take something which was so infused and soaked with Yirah with Shem Shammai, Yirah Shammayim, and Shem Shammayim that would be everlasting. Yaakov Avinu planted those trees Hashem Chesed, they were Hashem Mitzvah. Avraham Avinu planted them Hashem Chesed. Yaakov took them and he slept them down to Mitzrayim. And they started right from the beginning, and they started doing everything Hashem Shammayim that should be long lasting. Gets back to what you mentioned. Everything in the Mishkan is good to Shem Shammayim as much as possible. And that's how it lasts. So, we've got a few minutes. I'm going to move on to one of the Kalim. Rav Hirsch on these parishes from Truma right through to Tazrim Torah is fascinating and mind-boggling and so many other adjectives that I don't know how to describe. He takes all the aspects of all the mitzvahs going on and he explains the symbolism and what they represent and anything, and I'll just share a short idea of what he says about the Aron. All the kelim, all the materials used in the Beis HaMikdash all represented a certain midah. The midah of a tree is that it's continuously growing and developing. It always produces leaves. Then it dies. But it continuously grows and develops. It's always thriving. A metal doesn't grow. But a metal can be very, very strong. You can manipulate a metal. You take a metal, you put it in a fire, you take a hammer, you can manipulate it. Once the metal attains its shape, it can be very, very hard to take away that shape. So metal represents stability and strength. Metal can be pliable by the fire and the hammer of the Ribbono Shel, but once it's been set in its shape and form that the Ribbono Shel decided to be, it is strong and stable, and you can't move it. The Aron was a box of wood, that was the Ikar Aron, that was surrounded on both sides by gold. The Aron, which contained within the Torah, tells us that a person continuously learns Torah, he continuously grows. He doesn't stagnate. A person is learning, he's doing Torah mitzvahs, he continuously is growing, he's continuously developing. Or as Rav Hirsch puts it, or the translation puts it, it is a vigorous, enduring, and ever-renewed continuous development. It's Atei Shittim, it's the strongest of the woods, it's a strong wood which is continuously thriving. But you can thrive, but you need to be protected. You need to be protected from within yourself, from the Yetzirah, and you need to be protected from without, from the external influences. Mashpos Hasviva. So you have an Aron HaTishiti which is protected by gold on the inside and protected by gold on the outside. On the top, you had a little Zerizor. But it was made out of the Aron. It was one piece, it was a continuation of the outer box of the gold. The Zerizor of this crown is like a protection. It looks a little like a castle, maybe. It's protection. The person who's thriving with Kirchat Torah, He's growing constantly. He's guarding himself from within and from without. He himself, that is enough to protect him. He doesn't need necessarily outer protections. He himself becomes his own dreamer. He himself, he who is growing and continuously thriving and being shown himself from the Yetzer Hara, from the outside influences, that in itself is a protection against or Pega Ra, which counts. That's just one short idea of Rakesha that he mentioned about Aura. He carries on going on and on for the pages and explaining the Kaparisis and the Kruvim, why they do Kruvim, what they're doing. It's very nice if you have a few hours spare. It's a very, very interesting thing to look through. One more thing about the Aura. The Aura, it was nice with Chaim Velozhin again. Chaim Velozhin was stuck on a piece of Zohar. On a piece of Zohar. He was learning a piece of Zohar and he got stuck. He didn't know Pshat. So, when you're stuck in a Zohar, what do? You go to the Goyen. So he went to the Goyen and he asked him what Pshat in the Zohar. So instead of asking, the Goyen asked him a question. He says that, how did Vitala, how do you make the Orin? So Rashi explains, he had to coat the Orin wood in gold. The wooden Orin in gold. So what do? He built a big Orin of gold. He put the wooden Orin inside. And then he put the gold part inside that wooden Orin. Now let's look at the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says that if you saw is a hoftachar, you have to cover the Orin with gold. You buy it, you have to cover it from the inside and from the outside. Now let me ask you, this Orin Atishitim, what was the first side that got covered? He made a big Orin of gold, he took the Orin Atishitim, dropped it into the big Orin of gold. So what got covered first? The outside. Then he took another golden Orin and dropped it inside the wooden Orin. So now he covered the inner layer. So after going, he's reversing the pasuk. It says you have to cover it mibayis, umibachut, umichut. You have to cover it from the inside and the outside, not from the outside and the inside. Zok the Goyen, no. Well, mibayis and mechutz doesn't mean the inside and the outside of the wooden orin. It means first he covered the golden orin from the inside. The outer orin, also golden orin, got covered from the inside. Because he covered it with a wooden orin. And then the inner golden orin got covered from the outside because he dropped it into the wooden orin. So the Goyen asks, why did it become, you know, so convoluted? So the orin was the Mekoyer Bashbos HaTorah in the world that held the Luchos. And the Goyen says that the two are really Zohar, the inner one and the outer one was Keneged Torah HaNigle, the revealed Torah, and the inner Orin was Keneged Torah HaNistah. So the outer Orin, in Torah HaNigle, one is allowed to dig as deep as you want. You can go plumb the depth of Torah HaNigle, as much as you want. Torah HaNistah, you only allow the outer layer, you don't go too deep in Torah HaNistah. That's why the pasuk says that you're allowed to cover the outside Orin, you can go even mibayis, the outside golden Orin. It's even mibayis you can go, right into the depths. But the inner golden Orin, which is Keneged Torah HaNistah, that's only michut. You can only look at it from a less deep level. Therefore, so the Goyen, I'm not going to explain to you the pieces of Zohar. That's right. Have a lovely Shabbos.